I can't find it. Why don't I have friends with Bruce? I think I deleted the wrong one. I have, oh, here it is.
Friends with Bruce.
Best opening ever.
Best opening ever of a best week opening ever. What a week. Whew.
Well, you had the best opening ever. I saw the best finale ever to the World Cup just now. Holy moly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did, including I saw people posting on Mastodon.
Yeah.
You know what I almost said. I saw people posting on Mastodon that they don't like soccer. It is boring. And yet they thought that was the most exciting thing they've ever seen.
Yeah, it was an amazing, minus the I don't like soccer part. I do like soccer.
I did enjoy one woman's comment, though, on Mastodon. She said, if I want to see men who can't score, I'll just go read the comments on Twitter.
funny. Okay. Hey, speaking of Mastodon, real quick, I don't think this is going to be a Mastodon episode.
No,
but what is your preferred desktop Mastodon client?
The website. They're all...
I was wondering.
Mammoth has... Oh my God, Scott. Mammoth. Yeah, definitely Mammoth. Time for Mammoth. Wapner. Okay, let me start all over. It's been a week. And as you know, I was just waking up when we decided to podcast. Okay.
Which is great. You wake up on the wrong side of the bed. You're exhausted. You're pissy. You're angry at everything. Let's record.
I'm actually not this time. I was angrier last week for reasons that you know why. Because I was really physically out of sorts.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
No, actually, I was going to say, that's the one thing. It's been a week and I do feel utterly exhausted. But the one nice thing about being physically trained is my body still feels good. Like, I still feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in a good mood because of that. Now, what were you going to talk about? What was I going to comment on? What was I trying to say? Oh, Mammoth. Mammoth may not specifically be written to run on the Mac, but it runs on the Mac. And I don't know if that's just because it gets the iPad. It runs on the Apple Silicon Mac. And I don't know if that's just because it's running the straight iPad version or if he actually is tweaking it for a Mac version. I can't remember. It's in test flight. I think it probably... Let me open test flight and see. Mammoth. It doesn't say. So I'm guessing that he just said run it on all platforms, but he's probably not doing anything to make it specifically Mac-like. But so anyway, the reason I don't use Mammoth on the Mac is because every time I try to post something, it just crashes. It just disappears.
That's a good reason to not use it on the Mac.
Yeah, on the other hand, it keeps you from saying things you'll regret later.
Well, that's also a good reason.
So I use the website, and then, of course, on iPad and iPhone, I use the Ivory Test Flight Beta.
Right, and I'm using that as well. I haven't done much with it. I've only posted, like, two things.
I noticed.
But, you know, that's okay. I'm okay with that.
I'm trying to get you involved more.
I'm okay not being wedded to another social media site. With me, the balance, like... If I am watching security folks and I want like the latest news and stuff, then that's one thing. But I don't need like, okay, Twitter's gone. I haven't been like actively looking at Twitter in years.
I get that. Well, I know that.
Anyway. Yeah. So I'm not looking for something to look at, but I like the things that you curate
you
for me,
Scott.
You
might as well enjoy it in the good days. This is as good as Mastodon's ever going to get in terms of lack of assholes.
Probably. And on the same token, we now have the owner of Twitter over there banning journalists and
right.
links to Mastodon. Did you see that part? I totally missed that a couple days ago.
Yeah, he's not naive and well-meaning. He's naive and very ill-intentioned.
Yeah.
Oh, let's talk about our brews before we get any further.
Yeah, let's. Why don't you go first? Because I got to pick up the name again.
Today's a coffee day.
It is a coffee day. Coffee day for me as well.
Okay, I'm having a Water Avenue, which is brewed in Portland, where I live. Water Avenue, my goal in life, by the way, Peter, is to make everyone think that that's actually how you say Portland and have everyone say Portland so that I can tell that they're a listener to this podcast.
Portlandia.
Water Avenue Coffee Company, Wonderland, perfect for Portland. It's a cozy blend for misty mornings, and I got to say it was a little misty earlier. It's a medium roast, wonderfully balanced with festive tasting notes of, get ready for this, baking spice, brown sugar, and toasted nuts.
Huh.
These are not your father's toasted nuts, by the way.
I couldn't have read it better myself.
Oh, my God. These are not your father's toasted nuts.
You didn't make that up, did you?
No, I did, actually. That part I made up. It did say toasted nuts, but I did make up the part about these are not your father's toasted nuts.
Okay.
Seemed like I just am offering it up to them. If they're listening by chance, I want them to know that not only do we want sponsorship, they can have that slogan for free.
Awesome. Well, I am drinking a cup of Wegmans Dark Horizon coffee.
Ooh, that is a Dark Horizon. Is it an Event Horizon?
It's bold with notes of dark chocolate. It is a medium dark roast. Now, you normally I go all in on the dark stuff, but I say Dark Horizon. It's Distant Horizon. Did I say Distant? It's Distant. Distant Horizon.
Distant Event Horizon.
There's no event in it. It's Distant Horizon. Oh. And I like it a lot. This is the first time I've had it was this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I am on my third cup, and I have not put anything in it. Didn't put any cream, which I normally do. I suspect it probably would taste even better with cream, but I wanted to just taste it straight up, and it's really nice. From the website, bold with notes of dark chocolate, blend of beans from Colombia, Brazil, Ethiopia, and Nicaragua. From crop to cup, sourced and roasted with care, our supplier partner has direct relationships with global coffee farmers that bring you the best and responsibly sourced coffee from around the world. Our Food You Feel Good About Yellow Banner is your shortcut to great tasting products with no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives.
P.S. These are not your father's toasted nuts.
It says nothing about your father's toasted nuts.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm so glad that I grew up and became an adult.
I am actually happy to report that my father is safe and sound. So Vermont got a huge load of snow, giant blizzard.
Oh, I thought this was back to the falling incident.
No, they had a load of snow, like 2 feet by my dad's estimate.
A snow falling incident.
And a couple, yes, exactly, that kind of falling. And a couple of years ago, I had persuaded him to put in a generator. And I'm glad he has, because for 2 days, he had no power. I don't even know if he has any power now, because he told me he was going to snowblow and get out to the propane generator to see, or to the propane tank to check the fuel level. But he's basically been running on generator power for the last 2 days now. And it's great.
When I heard Adam saying on Blurring the Lines that his daughter's boyfriend, I think, was questioning him about why you would want backup stores of food, like extra food supply on hand. I thought to myself, you know, we do have some stuff stored away, but we're not as good as we could be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll freely admit that. But to wonder why it's a good idea? Hello?
I have an ex-girlfriend, and this was right when COVID was getting started. And I was stocking up on dried foods, rice, beans, oatmeal,
right,
coffee, and then other stuff that would just last forever. Peanut butter, speaking of toasted nuts, cans of tuna, canned vegetables. And she was like, why would you get canned vegetables? We can get fresh. And I was like, you don't get it. Do you?
This isn't about the quality of the eating experience.
Exactly. This was like, you know, I want to make sure I have something to eat, and I'm going to worry about how tasty and healthy it is later. Right now, honestly, I'm looking for calories. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
Let me live first. Let me stay alive for a little while, and then I'll worry about the fine dining experience.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Was that the end? Was that the day you broke up with her?
It came shortly after. Actually, it wasn't the day, but it was, right. You know, it was that day adjacent. So we both have two thumbs up for our coffees. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think every time I have a coffee that I haven't tried before, there's a little experimentation before I get the brewing of it exactly right. And to be honest, I'm very non-scientific. I'm scientific about my baseline brew.
Okay.
But I'm very non-scientific about what changes I make, and I can't even tell you what they are. I just kind of go by feel, and then it turns out better, and I'm like, hey, this coffee's better than I thought because I brewed it right this time. So I think so. Right now, this one's a tiny bit bitterer than I would like, but my assumption is that I just need less grams of beans for this one compared to other ones, maybe, and I think it would be really good. I think if I just dropped a couple grams of beans off the list and maybe Yeah, probably that was the biggest thing.
Cool. All right.
I don't change a whole lot else.
So, it is Sunday, but I do have things going on today. So let's stay on track. I'm not bailing on you, but I am trying to keep us focused. So what else is next? Talk to me about the Google Drive user interface.
Yeah, I think I lost a follower on Mastodon because I was saying that Google has never been able to design a UI to save their lives because I think they just fundamentally don't understand human beings, which I think is a fair assessment.
Have you used Microsoft OneDrive or SharePoint?
Yeah.
Have you used SharePoint?
Yeah, I've used SharePoint. Okay. I hate SharePoint.
Okay, I mean, just calm yourself. I can see your blood pressure starting. I can see your pulse already pulsing through your ATP cap. Just calm down. No, in all seriousness, what I'm saying is, I agree with you. Google Drive's UI is a little bit crap, but then I compare it to one of those times when I have to use SharePoint, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so much worse.
But at least with SharePoint, if you say, add a document, it says, oh, we're in a certain folder. Maybe I should add that document here, and it adds it there. Google mm-hmm. Drive, you make a copy of an existing document that's in the Friends with Beer folder. Which is the folder that I share with you? So mm-hmm. that you can see it.
Yeah.
Now, if I just make a copy of our template and I start making show notes for today, do you think Peter Nicolaitis is going to be able to see it? No. Because it doesn't put it in the same drive. It doesn't put it in the Friends with Beer folder. It puts it up in my personal drive in the root directory so that Peter cannot see it. Because that seems like the most logical reason I'd want to copy a file is to move it the hell away, not to change it slightly.
Makes perfect sense.
Why, Peter? They're the only one that do that as far as I know.
Yeah, I cannot tell you why that would happen. I don't know.
And then
know.
At least when you go to SharePoint, as slow and abominable and horrible as it is, it presents you with the stuff that the people want to be in each view. You get there, mm-hmm. there's some links, there's some folders, blah, blah, blah. You go into the folders, the stuff is there, nothing moves around. You go to drive.google.com and it says, I'm going to show them a dashboard of the amazing things that they don't know exists. Yeah. Not only do I not know they exist, I don't want to know they exist. I'm looking for my folder. I don't care about all that other stuff that somebody shared with me 5 billion years ago. I don't care about the wallpaper that some idiot put in Google Drive instead of posting on a website. I don't want it. I want my Friends with Beer folder. Show me that. How about show me the folders that are directly in my...
So let me play Google's advocate here for a second.
Oh my God, you ass.
One person could argue, okay, and this is hilarious,
this.
Right? That what they're doing is more privacy centric. I can't even stay with a straight face.
Why? By hiding your own stuff from you?
Well, no, hiding it so that I don't get, so you make a copy of it and I don't see the copy by default.
Oh, that part of it. Yeah, yeah.
Right? So you get to make your copy, but just in case you didn't want to overshare.
Okay, then what I need to do is test to see if that is the same way in non-shared folders, because if it does the same thing with a non-shared folder, then that is wrong, but that's a point that I never thought of. So let me go to my drive. Yep. I'm going to make a new folder. New folder. I'm going to make test. Testing. Yes, Google is very testing.
Testing.
Now I'm going to make a new document. Okay. So I go to untitled document. So where does it... Oh, I see what the problem is. The problem is that Google Drive and Google Docs want to be two separate things.
Hmm.
And so now when I say... Hi, that's the name of my document. Saved to Drive. So now when I go back to Drive, oh, it did save it in testing. Okay, you know what? Good troubleshooting. You're the software tester today, not me. That is exactly what Google's doing.
Believe me, when it comes to software, I can be testing.
Oh, you're very testing.
I'm testing. I can be trying too.
But see, normally I think of all the weird test cases. I didn't even think about the fact that because it was a shared folder. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
You're welcome.
Brilliant. Thank you. Wow. Wait, I want you to mark this down. Scott Wilsey is admiring Peter Nicolaitis' technical skills today. What?
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
I thought it was a nice thing. Okay, so we solved that mystery. That's actually brilliant.
Yay, you're welcome.
All right, people. So Peter is your consultant.
Oh, man. Oh. Last night, I forgot to tell you, I got an email from our friends over at Meta asking if I wanted to interview for their security engineering team.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, no, you're holding out to be on Twitter's security team?
I might just do that. I might just do that. That'd be awesome. Oh, man. I have not responded. Anyway.
Okay. That's very meta.
Carry on. Yeah, carry on.
Maybe you could get the goggles. You could be a virtual world security guy. You could bumble around as an avatar typing cookie.
Type cookie, you idiot.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so you and I both use Rectangle, and I believe that you have paid for it by now or not.
I have to check. I meant to.
It's a separate download.
I don't know. I know. Let me just check about...
I was going to say, if you haven't downloaded something separate...
I have not yet purchased the Pro. Nope, I'm still running just plain old Rectangle. I did at one point get as far as going to the website, and then I got distracted somehow.
I'm also drinking a Gatorade Zero, which I'm not going to put in the show notes, or in the brews section.
It's not technically a brew, so...
It's a chemical disguised as a sports drink. Okay, well, what I wanted to talk about with Rectangle is... It definitely solves some problems that I feel like Apple should have solved themselves.
Okay.
Basic window management that, you know, Apple should have thought of. Stage manager is not the answer, and I know that some people like it. Happy for you. So very, very happy for you. Not sharing that opinion. And I have reasons why, but we're not here to talk about stage manager. If anyone feeds back at us and says, oh my God, stage manager, amazing, lols. I have reasons why no person with an orderly mind would use Stage Manager. But see how I'm not talking about Stage Manager? Let's talk about Rectangle. So what's your use case? What are the shortcuts that you use the most? What do you find the most useful about it that macOS doesn't have built in natively?
Admittedly, I don't spend as much time moving back and forth between a Windows computer keyboard and a Mac keyboard anymore. That said, I don't like when I become overly reliant on keyboard shortcuts that I can't port back and forth. Now, my brain and thumbs have been trained so that I can use control whatever when I'm sitting at a Windows keyboard and command whatever when I'm sitting at a Mac. That much I can do easily.
I still sometimes trip on that.
But remembering like control, option, shift, caret, you know, whatever. Those are like, I'm never going to. So what I do is I have largely a default rectangle configuration. And I use it with the hot zones, I guess they're called, when you move like the window. So if I want to take the current window I'm in.
Where it leaps to a certain position?
Yeah. So like I'll take this FaceTime window I'm looking at you in right now and drag it to the top of my screen, and it does an almost maximize, right? A zoom to like full screen.
Yeah.
And then I'll take it and bring it to the right edge, the rightmost edge, and let it go there. And now you take up the right half of my screen. And if I take it down to the bottom center of my window and let it go there, it takes up the middle third of the screen. So those are the features that I'm using mostly. I guess you can do like custom layouts where you can put like this window in this special area and stuff, which I just haven't gotten around to yet. I do that in Windows when I use PowerToys. They have, mm-hmm. I think it's called Zones, Desktop Zones. And I like that because like when I'm gaming, for instance, I have a zone, like the gaming window will be here, my Discord window will be here, and a preview window with the rule book will be here, and just like snaps them all right in the perfect place. And I like that.
Yeah.
Haven't gotten around to that with Rectangle yet.
So I do have a couple layouts saved. The one thing is it requires me to have the programs already open, but if I have those programs open and I hit that key shortcut, they will go to their places. Now, the one thing about macOS that it is fairly good at is those apps already remember their places, so I don't actually have to trigger that shortcut.
Right. Yep. So overall, I like it. I definitely will, you know, it's worth the $9. Like I had mentioned this either on a previous this show, or was it Blurring the Lines? I don't remember. But I had mentioned that I purchased Moom from Manytrix, which I had heard about from John Chidgey over at the Engineered Network.
Right. And then I purchased it, which I had heard about from Peter Nicolaitis at the Blurring with Lines and Friends with Bruce podcast.
But Rectangle seemed to work better for me, and it was easier for me to get started and more intuitive. So
yeah, it's stuck in my brain.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth, you know, the $9 or whatever to buy the Pro. I'm just going to do that on the podcast today. You know, that's what I'm going
to
do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Nicolaitis is going to recite his credit card number into the microphone.
I wouldn't go that far. But what I will say, I do have one complaint about it.
Somebody's having a case of the Mondays.
And it's only Tuesday. I mean, it's only Sunday. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Wow. Don't rush my days off away. Oh, my gosh.
What I will say is one problem I have is with... So I use a virtual desktops. And it will... And I also use my iPad as a secondary display.
Oh, I've never tried that. Is that continuity mode? What is that called?
I don't remember if that's continuity. It's not universal control. Universal control is when you're controlling it, but not using it as an extended display. So I just use that as an extended display.
So it's not universal, but is it universal desktop? I don't remember.
Doesn't matter.
So it's literally just functioning as a display.
It's just a display. Correct. You can do either way.
You're not sliding over to it using iPad apps. It's displaying whatever's on your Mac.
Correct. It's strictly just a display. That's all you're using it for.
I think that's continuity display.
That might be. However, there's a problem with that is if I have virtual desktops, let's just imagine I'm on my main desktop on my Mac. In the center.
Imagine.
I have a virtual desktop to the right, and I have my iPad to the left. Okay? So from left to right, I have iPad, main display, virtual display. If I drag a window to the far right window, boom, Rectangle snaps it to take up the right half of the screen. No, I take that back. If I drag it to the far left where the iPad is, Rectangle will snap it to the left half of the screen. If I drag it to the right,
sidecar,
it drags to the virtual display off to the right. I move the application from the main display to the side, to the secondary virtual display.
Yeah.
And I can't drag it back.
Ooh.
I have to invoke the desktop, you know, virtual desktops thing at the top with like three fingers swipe up on my trackpad. And then I have to drag it back to desktop one. Haven't gotten around to figure out if that's a configuration problem, if that's a bug or whatnot. That's my one complaint about Rectangle. Other than that, it's really cool and easily worth a few bucks.
Speaking of trackpad, since you brought it up, I will say, so I have a, what are you? I have a Logitech M7 something Pro. I don't know. It's a decent mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the mouse for the most part, but I also have a trackpad, a Magic trackpad, sitting here on my left-hand side of my keyboard, and it's only there for those type of gestures that you're talking about.
Okay.
And because they're kind of magic, if you remember them, they're amazing.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't like spaces where you maximize a window, really maximize, not just maximize so that you can still see the menu bar and the dock, but it takes over the entire screen and it goes to its own separate place and you have to go sideways to get there. That's spaces, right? The nice thing about spaces is if you use three fingers, you can swipe side to side between your apps. And it's so much faster than command tabbing and finding the app in the command tab list.
Absolutely. Yeah. Left swipe, right swipe. It's great.
Yes. And I get that the downside of it is if you have a bunch of them in spaces, if you have a bunch of spaces, each with their own app, you may be swiping for a while before you find the one you want. I do agree that that could be better. But if I just have a couple things like VS Code is in there, Mail is in there, then I've got like two, then I've only got to swipe four times max or three times max for that scenario. And it's great. It's just super great. And because I have the MacBook Pro now, when I'm using it as a laptop, it's ready. When I'm at my desk, I've got the trackpad here. It's ready. I agree with you that for me, Rectangle Pro makes my Mac use and my Windows use very functionally equivalent. The keystrokes are different, but that's fine. They're very simple. And I keep forgetting about the zones that you're talking about where you pull the window and then it does its thing. I use the keyboard shortcuts for the stuff that I do the most often. And the things that I do the most often are maximize this window, make this window take up the top quarter of the screen, make this window take up the left half of the screen, make this window take up the right half of the screen. Those are the things I do the most. Mm-hmm. And that very much mirrors my Windows use, where I want this window to hop over to this monitor. I want this window on this monitor. I want this window to take up the full screen. I want this window to not take up the full screen. So very, very similar. And those things are built into Windows. If I wanted to do what you do and have my layouts and my zones, that would require the Pro Tool. What are they called? The Pro, what are they called? The tools? Microsoft Power Tools.
Power Toys.
Power Toys. Yeah. And I actually installed Power Toys at one point because I didn't know some mm-hmm. of the built-in windowing shortcuts in Windows. And then I was showing Mark, a guy I work with, and he's like, oh, but what about the Windows shift arrow key, or the Windows arrow key, or the Windows shift arrow if you want to go to a different monitor? I tried it, and I'm like, okay, I'm uninstalling PowerToys.
So I just installed Rectangle Pro while you were talking, and I disabled old Rectangle, Unpro, Rectangle Amateur.
Yeah.
I am now looking, it looks like I had pretty much the default configuration, so that's good, because I don't need to relearn any shortcuts or anything like that, so that's pretty good. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
Here's a power tip about Rectangle that is nice. So if you look at the menu bar thing and you click on it and you're looking at all those different options, you'll notice that next display and previous display are there, but they don't have keyboard shortcuts. Mm. Now, I'm sure that you can assign keyboard shortcuts, but here's another trick. Let's say you're like me and you've got an Apple Studio display and then your laptop display is off to the left. And Messages, let's say, opens up on your Studio display, but you really want it off on the MacBook Pro display because you're not going to look at it that often. And you want it visible, but out of your way. You don't have to use that. What you can do is say, hey, I want this to use the left half. And you just keep hitting the left half keyboard shortcut until it moves its way over to the left half on the second monitor. It'll go to the second monitor. It won't just keep trying to do it on the first monitor. On the second attempt, it'll go, hey, he must want this on the second monitor. And it's kind of weird because it'll go from the left half on the first monitor to the right half on the second monitor, then to the right half, then to the left half on the second monitor. But it works really nice. So it's like basically hitting it twice instead of once or whatever.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk a little more about a couple more things on similar veins to what we're talking about.
Okay.
In addition to Moom, which I did not buy, about 3 years ago, I did buy Witch, W-I-T-C-H, also from Manytrix, the same author. And it's essentially a better task manager, like an Alt or a Command Tab replacement.
Oh, okay. Let's hear about that.
Well, I contacted the developer and I was complaining because recently I've not been able to use Witch because it just times out. Like, I'll hit Command Tab, it takes a beat or 10 for it to show up, and then I see all of the apps and then it just scrolls through all of them and slams up against the last one in the task list. And then I let go of, I can't move, like I can't command shift or move back around. So essentially, anytime I hit command tab, it will always go to the last program running. And so he asked me, like, what programs are you running? And do you have a lot of windows open? So I took a screenshot of everything. And I was like, yep, well, here's a simple list of, you know, like all this stuff. And the response was to the tune of, yeah, you're using a lot of apps that use a lot of resources, so we can't really handle that. I'll fix that in version 5, but that's down the road. But he did, get this, 3 years later, he offered to refund my purchase.
After 3 years of trying to solve your problem?
Well, I only reported it this week.
And after 3 years of trying to learn Swift UI? Oh, okay, never mind, sorry.
So... Rob, if you're listening, Scott's the one being a jerk to you, not me.
I'm not being a jerk to you. I'm just asking questions.
I did not take him up on the offer. I wrote him back and I said, no, I've gotten value for your pro. It was like $9 again or something. I was like, no, I got value from it.
Oh, for sure. And not only that, you bothered him for at least $9 worth of support.
Absolutely. You know, that said, there's another program that I use also called ShareMouse.
Never share your mouse with another person.
Never share your mouse, but I do share it with another computer. Now, I had, for a long time, would have multiple desktops or laptops on my desktop, my physical desktop. And I was using a program called Synergy back in the day. This is like more than 10 years ago. And then Synergy was, it was an open source product. It was free, blah, blah, blah. It was great. And then the author wanted to, you know, like take it commercial. And I guess there's still a free version, but there's a commercial version. I just didn't like the direction in which he was taking it. And the communications coming out of him were just like, eh, I don't like that. So I ended up moving to ShareMouse, which, unlike Synergy, I think Synergy was Mac, Linux, and Windows. And I believe ShareMouse is just Mac and Windows. But I don't have a Linux desktop anymore, so it was fine. And I was able to pay for support, and it generally worked pretty well. But I've recently found out that Barrier is apparently a Synergy fork, and it is free open source. So my ShareMouse paid subscription is about to end up. It's about to, you know, like expire sometime, I think, like around Christmas or something. And I'm planning on pivoting over to Barrier at that time. And I'll be testing it between a Windows PC and a Mac.
So Barrier instead of
ShareMouse.
Okay.
Instead of Synergy. So, yes.
Is ShareMouse one word or two?
Yep, one word. And I believe with like Studley caps, I believe it's a capital M.
Oh, no, they've got a space in there. No, really? They don't. Oh, the title on the website looks like, not the title, but the logo on the website looks like it. But in their copy text, they say one word, yeah.
Definitely capital S, capital M. Definitely ShareMouse. So overall, it works pretty well, but for reasons I don't know, of like it'll randomly lose the connection on both systems, and I just have to restart it on both, and then it just works again.
So what's the one you're going to? Sorry.
I'm going to try Barrier.
The Barrier Reef?
No Reef, just Barrier.
And this is Mac utility only?
Nope, this is cross-platform. I believe it's Mac, Windows, Linux.
Oh, this is probably this GitHub thing. Debauchy Barrier.
Debauchy. Debauchery. So all of these are like ShareMouse is like $69 for 3 years, I want to say, or something. But the other things, you know, Rectangle, Moom, Witch, Barrier, they're all like, or even Barrier. I don't think Barrier has a commercial offering. You know, we're talking like $10.
What do you mean for 3 years?
ShareMouse did like three-year subscription.
Oh, That's a weird deal, dude.
Yeah, it's a business thing, though. I mean, they give me
no,
a discount.
I understand the whole subscription thing, but what I mean is to do a 3 year. I get what they're doing. It's just an unusual proposition. Usually, they give you a year, and if you pay for the year, you get a slight discount, or maybe not. But you pay for a year at a time, or you can pay monthly. But 3 year, that's bold.
You can do. I'm pretty sure you could do a year at a time. I think I bought three because I was like, you know, I'll just get a discount.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So anyway, and ShareMouse does have a free version. But yeah, right now, ShareMouse Pro, 1 year of maintenance is $120.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to pay that.
I would think not.
Unless I have such a bad experience with Barrier. Yeah, it looks, yeah. If I renew it, however, let me find out here. I'm curious what they're looking by. Register license. Copy your license key.
Yes, Peter, copy your license key. Is this 21 or is this 22? Because I have one that we're editing that I haven't published yet.
I thought this was 21.
Yes, you're right. 20 is the one I'm editing.
Jeez.
Yeah, I lose track. Tell you, it's been a week. Like I said, I worked an extra 12.
Tell you, man.
That I didn't expect to. And I still did my workouts. I pulled an all-nighter, then I worked 8 more hours that day, then I still did 2 hours of workouts that night. Come on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't make excuses and say I'm not going to work out. Now, yesterday was a day off, but that's because I was way overdue for a day off. Of fitness, not of work. I did work yesterday.
All right.
For a lot longer than I expected to, by the way.
All right. Well, hey, I've been taking it easy and blatantly not doing nearly as much exercise because I've messed up my knee again and I want the damn thing to get better.
Right. I scared myself. A couple days ago, all of a sudden I had a pain right under my knee and it felt weird. And now it's completely gone. I could still run, but when I was walking around, I would feel it. It scared me. I thought, oh no, I haven't had knee problems in forever. But then it went away. And I think, you know what I think it was from, literally? I was doing a treadmill run. And I was tired and I was bored and I was running at a decent pace and I just started going side to side like a loose skater or something. I was just kind of running side to side on the treadmill. Just don't know why. I was listening to some music to get me motivated, and I was kind of getting into it, so I was darting side to side. And I think that lateral action on my knee is probably what did it. It started like a day and a half after that, and then now it's gone. So
you know something I don't really care for that much?
Treadmills?
GitHub.
Oh.
Like, when I land on a GitHub project page...
Yep.
I have no freaking clue how to download the program.
Okay, I used to be that way, but what they assume is...
Help me.
Let's click on the barrier link, for example.
That's exactly where I went. Where do I go?
You're on a desktop browser, right?
Yep.
So here's why they make this more confusing. And I didn't figure this out until I learned how to use Git.
Got it.
Once I started using Git, that problem goes away because you're just going to clone the thing and you're going to do it from a command line probably or a Git client.
Right. But if you are producing software, I guess, okay, if the intention is to make sure that end users never see your code and your program, then Git is awesome. But if you just want to download, I want to download an executable and install it on two of my machines.
Oh, GitHub's horrible for that.
That's what I'm talking about. Like right now, today, I can't compile anything on my Windows machine. I don't have a compiler. I don't want the code for this project. I just want to install it on my Windows machine. So for me as an end user right now, I'm like, WTF, mate.
Okay, now just because you're downloading it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have to compile it. You can make a release with a binary executable in it.
Right. And if I could find that easily, I'd be a much happier
user.
Okay,
well, that depends on the project.
Exactly.
In terms of just downloading the Git repo, you click the code button and then you have options. Do you want to clone this? Do you want to open it with GitHub Desktop, which no one ever does? Or do you want to download a zip file? As far as whether or not there's a binary available, that's if they create a package.
Exactly.
Right. And this one says no packages published. So that means that you download the source. There is a dist folder here. And if I look in the dist folder, I see a macOS bundle.
When I scroll down, I see a clean build.bat.
Under bundle, there's a barrier.app.
What the heck is Wix?
I don't know, but I don't care. But here's where it is right here. If you go to this bundle.
But I do care because I also want to run this on Windows. And I see a batch file.
I would assume it's that Wix thing.
I don't know what the heck those things are. Barrier.sln, yeah.
I don't know, but that sounds like a gap in our knowledge, not a gap in his process.
Sure. Okay. Give the guy the benefit of the doubt. This is my normal experience. When I go to a GitHub project, I feel like an idiot.
Yeah, I get it.
Clean build.bat file, and it says it uses CMake.
Wix is a Windows installer XML.
Windows installer XML. Okay.
Wix was the first Microsoft project to be released under an open source license.
Interesting.
So it sounds really old. And I don't know what you do once you download that onto your device. The macOS one has an app already built, so you don't have to do anything.
Somebody wrote an article that said that it's incredibly easy to install with pre-compiled binaries for Windows.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, where are they?
So I'm just going to put it this way. It looks to me like the macOS one is super easy to do. The Windows one, there's something you have to understand. And I haven't looked to see what the Linux options are under dist. RPM.
So, on a page... Okay, so I did find a page. It's debarrier... Oh, it's the wiki page. So you go to github.com/debarrierwiki. And there, I see packaging status. So I see a bunch of things there, but... Here's the funny thing. I see WinGet. I don't see Windows. And I don't see Mac. I see tons of Linuxes.
That wiki link is available. It shows on everything. It's kind of up to the developer to do something with it.
Yeah, exactly. So again, this is, like I said, this is just, he doesn't seem to be going out of his way to make it easy for a Mac or Windows person to install this without downloading the code, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh my God, you have to install. That's because this project requires a bunch of stuff that I don't want on my computer. You have to install Qt for Windows.
Qt? Yeah.
I don't want that. Yeah. I hell as much don't want that on my Mac.
Yeah.
I would never do this.
Dependency hell.
Right. Now, the nice thing about with Mac is you can install those dependencies with Homebrew. And I have...
Right. If you want them in
the
first place.
If you want them. I don't want them. I don't know why I have such a barrier against Qt, but it just seems like one of those things that all the apps that want it make me mad. And so, and I don't want Qt. It's an old, it's an outmoded, look, I have a GUI already. Let me use it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so maybe I'm not going to, I don't know, though. $120. Oh, and that seems to be my renewal price too for ShareMouse. It's $120 per year. That seems high.
Peter, I just want to say something. First of all, keep looking for other options. Secondly,
I am looking.
There is a reason this thing is called barrier. They throw up so many barriers
to entry. Yes.
To entry that it makes you furious that you even thought of using it, and it makes you furious that they even thought of you using it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is not I wouldn't do this one. That's for sure. I'm sorry.
I might have to though. I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess I have to figure how Qt averse am I?
Very. It should be the correct answer. And here's the other thing, Peter. How often are you actually going to need this anymore?
I use it fairly frequently. I definitely... So on my main work setup now is I have a computer off to my left with a secondary display. That's strictly for the hospital. It is air-gapped. It's completely separate. It's not part of this equation. The rest of it, I have my MacBook Air primary display, and then I have my big widescreen connected to it. So I have those two. Off to the right, I have another Windows laptop, 17-inch or 16-inch, 15-inch, I don't even remember, big.
How many computers are we up to now? Three? Is that the third one?
Three, yes. That's the one I use the sharing with.
My Logitech MX70 or whatever it is. Don't know. It's got a button here, and it's got frequencies 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't done this, but I think that by pairing at a certain frequency, which you can do mm-hmm. with a specific computer, you could pair at the different frequency settings on each of your computers, and all you have to do is press that button once to transfer it to the other computer.
But what about the keyboard?
Oh, you didn't say anything about a keyboard, Peter.
Yeah, this is KVM sharing. This is what we're doing. We're sharing mm-hmm. the keyboard, the video, and the mouse switching.
You just said mouse.
So I'm looking at another one called Mouse Without Borders, but it's Windows only.
Mouse Without Borders. It has a normal practice that it practices for like 50 years, and then once every 10 years, maybe it'll go for a year to...
Goes away on sabbatical.
Right, and does Mouse Without Borders thing.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. So it looks like Barrier, Synergy, and ShareMouse are like... That's all I'm finding right now that's actually cross-platform compatible.
Synergy Virtual KVM.
Yes.
We didn't talk about that one, did we? Did you mention
that? No, that was the one that I used, and then I said the developer started and, you know, like, took it in a direction I wasn't really caring for.
What do you mean? It became a porn site?
No, he just, like I was getting... He wanted to charge for it. It wasn't clear why I would want to do that. And then all of a sudden I was getting like pictures of like, hey, look, here's our new office. And there was a picture of two people sitting at a desk. And I'm like, you want me to pay so you can have two people sitting at a desk?
Yeah, he's got employees, you dummy. When to stick with hardware. If you need to connect one monitor to multiple computers, you'll still need a traditional KVM.
Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. Because I like to share, like, I like my hands on one keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, and that's can turn your head.
Yep, exactly. Anyway.
So I'm clicking on Synergy's buy now. I see $29 lifetime download access. That's not that bad.
$29 for lifetime is not that bad. However, here's the other thing too. Back when I was complaining about, the reason I was complaining was like there were a number of bugs that I had submitted, and instead of like seeing any progress on the bug fixing front, I was seeing like, we just bought an office kind of thing. So I was not, yeah. So that's when I switched over to, I believe, to ShareMouse. And that was maybe, I don't know what the timeline is. That might be why ShareMouse or why Barrier spun up. It might've been in, because it is a fork of Synergy.
Is it? So it does Synergy have Qt in it?
I don't know.
Well, if it does, I doubt it. Maybe it does.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Welcome to world-class productivity. Fortune 500 companies and over 2 million customers rely on Synergy every day, Peter, including Pixar and Apple, two companies that you may have heard of.
Huh.
There's a Scott with one T that gave a good review to it. I can't trust him because he doesn't have the right number of T's.
Skeet.
Skeeter. Mosquito.
Yeah.
Mosquito loves it.
Yeah. So I'm kind of torn here.
Peter, have you heard the good news about hardware KVMs?
No. What are they?
Don't know. But and here's the other thing. I don't know if there are any KVMs modern enough to allow you to use Bluetooth devices with them. I'm sure there must be some adapters you can plug into them, but
I never tried. I do have a hardware KVM on my desktop. I haven't really used it though since I had just two Windows machines on my desktop, and that's where I would switch between like hospital one and non-hospital one.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you know, some people have a day phone and a night phone. You've got a hospital computer and a non-hospital computer.
Makes perfect sense. All right. Well, on that note, we should wrap this puppy up. Put a bow in it, et cetera, et cetera. Stick a fork in it. Blah blah blah. Do the whole thing.
Push the big red KVM button.
Big red KVM button. Counting it. Why don't you count us down and then we'll push the button.
Three. I'm starting at three. Is that okay?
Click.